Oh, great.
So who wants to start? most courageous?
Or something.
Dave, you want to take over?
Actually, you might have a few
adjustments. Okay. Professor Alexander Kleistron, that's my handle, that's my teaching handle. My real name is always divulged in classes, Phil Jodry. I'm here for one thing, to teach you that pirate radio is not legal, but is definitely easy. I have a website, it's yourpiratestation.com, that's yourpirate station.com. And what it's there for is to make sure that you don't make mistakes. Anybody can try to do pirate radio. However, I'm going to take you to the next level, which is to know what you're getting, to make sure that it's cost effective, that it's suitable to your very own needs, and that it remains reliable and friendly to you. And there's one other good thing about stations is you should be so proficient at it that you duplicate yourself into other stations. Because one of the recent mistakes I've been seeing is stations get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, whereas we like bedroom stations over here, stations that either go under your bed or they go over the refrigerator. And when they get too much equipment and when you meet a friend who wants to do it, you start giving some extra antennas and power supplies to them. Before you know, your station has become 248, 1632, 30 billion thousand radio stations. That's the way to do it.
30 billion thousand radio stations.
Right.
That's our goal.
Yes.
Does your friend want to say a few?
Oh.
Are you not done?
Keep going.
Okay. I put the station over here. We're going to look at that later on, and we'll let everybody else talk. I advise you, pirate is a very, very simple word. It means that we are anywhere near making it legal, and yet we have a very easy way to make radio legal. That's to create more and more and more stations. One thing I like to do is rub it in that it's just totally impossible to ever catch them if they're smart, except for a few of the obvious ones. And I have one technical advantage, which is also a very artistic advantage, is a system device called the Wireless Studio. It's two-way radios. CB radios work the very best in most cases, but two-way radios are going to carry the audio in and out of the station, out of your portable station. So you can swap audio all over the city or community or however you want to do it. You don't have people coming into your apartment. And most stations do not suffer from the FCC. They suffer from domestic problems. They want to know who it belongs to, what kind of programming. First of all, create enough stations that everybody can do their thing. There can be all over the band. And another thing is if you use Wireless Studio, you can drive to work, your station turns on, you do a show from there. You know, it's comfortable.
All right, we'll go. My name is Valerie Taveri, and I'm from the artist group Neurotransmitter. This is Angel Nevarez. He's another member of Neurotransmitter. And basically, we use the work that we do primarily deals with radio machinations of some sort. The work that we do deals with radio machinations of some sort, primarily both building transmission devices as well as receiving devices. And we also create electronic music and radio sonic installations in gallery settings. So this, what we brought with us today is, we're really interested in the idea of possibilities of mobile broadcast and creating what we're calling frequency performances, which uses these backpacks, which Angel will describe in just a minute, within a larger sort of choreographed urban performance. And do you want to explain?
Yeah, basically, if you guys want to look at our website, it's neurotransmitter.fm if you get a chance. On the website, we have a biography, a list of projects that we've done since 2001. That's when we pretty much started. But basically, what CommuniPort is, and before I get into what it is, the name CommuniPort comes from community, municipality, portability, communication. So really trying to kind of like bring all of these ideas into this project. But basically, we designed this backpack, and it contains the transmitter, which is right here. Inside, it's It's a multi-channel mixer, microphone, and then you can hook up any kind of auxiliary CD player, MD player to the transmitter.
I think there's some people who still are having trouble hearing, so could we try to speak really loud?
Okay.
Let's see, what did you guys not hear back there? Maybe I can start over. What did you not hear?
Are you able to?
Well, since you started talking, we also didn't hear the woman before you.
Oh, is it the vents up there that are sort of blocking out the sound?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, let me see if I can speak up. Community port. So the idea is what Valerie was saying. It's about, you know, how to render, you know, radio, render it portable and move through urban space and, you know, hijack frequencies if you wanted to. What we do is not primarily legal, but most of our projects have been, you know, more gallery based, just because we're both artists, and we got into this just kind of, you know, by default, I guess. So we've really kind of been interested in opening up, you know, what radio is. So working with the technology, not just for the sake of broadcasting, but, you know, playing with the wiring of it, playing with the circuit board, how to design something else, you know, with radio. So really trying to expand on this medium.
And the idea of what we're calling a frequency performance is thinking about also the way that a very sort of local and low power broadcast, maybe you want to turn that down just for a minute, how that transmission range sort of blankets an urban environment, and thinking about in relation to the backpack, how, you know, using multiple units like this, the signal can piggyback on top of one another, creating this kind of sonic transmission blanket over an urban space, and how the transmission is broken through buildings, through, you know, different types of obstructions in that environment, and how that can kind of work into the performance as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of an extension of what the professor was speaking about. It's like the more transmitters you have, the more range that each one of these can take up. Basically, the way it works is the FCC only has a limited range for this kind of like public, you know, public radio space. So what can happen is, you know, you can create this network of multiple limits and then kind of just expand outward from that. But I mean, the most important thing about what we do is just, you know, reclaiming, you know, this space of radio, and not have it be so much about a corporate structure or any kind of like military structure. I mean, we really wanted to kind of just bring it, you know, bring it home to something where, you know, where we could use.
I'm Ryan Holzapfel with the BION, which is the Brooklyn Interactive Outreach Network, and it's a small radio station in the East Williamsburg, Bushwick area, and there's a performance space. We live stream on the internet, and basically for community radio and information, community events, radio shows. I also do radio theater, and using transmitters in a theater space and like in a theater medium, old-time radio shows, things like that, as well as more advanced. My dream was in that age when drive-in theaters started transmitting the drive-in, and you could, instead of putting the speaker on your window, you could sit in your car and listen to the movie in your car on your car stereo. And kind of the last play I did, I melded that idea with, if you watch a DVD now, they have the different options where you can listen to the people, the directors talk during the movie, things like that. So I had the idea that during a play, like drive-in, if everybody in the audience had a radio, then they could listen to the rehearsal process and another layer of the play, and we used a transmitter exactly like that over there in a theater space, and everybody in the audience had a radio, and they tuned in and listened to the actors talking, the actors' thoughts, the rehearsal, so it just kind of deconstructed the play, and that's kind of where I'm trying to push.
push the 31 Down theater stuff to operate on two levels, the play that you see, and then what's going on in the actors' minds, because I think using the radio, we can get at something that we can't get at in film or regular theater. We can add another element, and as opposed to wiring each seat like an airplane, where you're tuning in, and there's something about the radio, somebody driving by the theater, and all of a sudden on their radio they hear these inner thoughts of a play going on, and this play, those old radio broadcasts, people would sit live in the radio station and watch a radio play, so it had that duality, that live theater, as well as people removed can tune in and listen to what's going on, so there's a visual element as well as a radio element, so that's the direction that I want to go with it.
Great, so at this point, if anyone's still having... I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's
all right. Go, MC Audio Astrology.
My name is MC Audio Astrology, and I am the Music Outreach and Spoken Director of Perfect Radio 99.9 FM, which is located in North Brooklyn. We've transmitted with anywhere from 5 to 25 watts of power. We go anywhere from 10 blocks to 10 miles in all directions. And we've been transmitting since the last week.
In December of 1999, people were speaking out against the WTO and speaking truth against power. So we were really inspired by that and decided to continue with the revolution that you may or may not know is ongoing. We would take it to the airwaves ourselves. So with 5 or 25 watts of power, we've been doing that since 1999, 20th century. Of course, there's been a couple other major experiences in our history, or herstory, during 9/11, when many of the radio stations, many of the local radio stations were off the air because they lost their transmitters and antennas. We were able to continue transmitting information and interviews and all kinds of things. We were even doing some live streams of Democracy Now!, which I'm sure most of you know is usually broadcast on WBAI, but at the time they weren't, because WBAI, of course, was off the air. So we were airing live streams of Democracy Now! At Ground Zero from a stream that originated in Binghamton. So we were very pleased that we were able to get some on-site interviews and sounds from Amy Gooden and all the great people at Democracy Now! More recently, back in August 14, we had the East Coast blackout here, and most of the radio stations were off the air. A lot of them were airing feeds from television stations, like some of the Clear Channel stations, like 105.1 and 104.3 and 103.5. They were all airing the exact same television broadcast from NBC, in case anyone else was out there checking the radio dials to see who was on. So three major radio stations were all transmitting the exact same information. We didn't have power, of course, although we did have two car batteries, which allowed us to be portable and continue to transmit with actually 25 watts during the blackout using these two car batteries. So we were able to continue providing information and updates as to what was happening without any electricity, as we all know it, AC, of course. Let me just talk a little bit, if I can, about Perfect Radio itself. It is sort of built on Professor Kleistron's idea of a wireless studio. I like to think of it more as an adapted wireless studio, and it's very similar to what we have here. Of course, I don't have the correct RCA cable, so I can't connect it to the transmitter. But imagine, if you will, here's a CD player that can feed into a mixer. Here's a wireless FRS, and we have a source that we could actually plug into, if you would be so kind.
Sure.
We could actually transmit a wireless feed from me to there. Channel 1, if possible.
Yeah.
And if you have your radio, you can tune it to 99.9 FM.
Veronica 5 watt, you can get almost similar 12
CD would be going through my mixer, and usually what I do, I'm also a performer, and I usually like to play against CD music or whatever. So here's my theme song, which you can't hear because these speakers are actually limiters. It's LL Cool J's I Can't Live Without My Radio. And in a live performance setting, what I would be doing is I'm going to have this cranked up, or in the mixer, I'm going to have this playing live through my mixer. Run DMC meets Aerosmith in the 21st century. But you can't really dress expensively because I can't do my LL Cool J. So, anyway, that's just one of the things that we do. But, so the other things, of course, is to provide information. And depending on who is transmitting or who's the DJ or the host at the particular time, we can do anything from live music. We can have live music performances either in the station proper, in the station itself, or at another undisclosed location and through a wireless station like this.
Hello, am I still on the air?
Through a wireless station from like this, we could transmit up to 2 miles with these FRS walkie-talkies, or using a CB station, we can transmit up to 5 or 10 miles from all over our neighborhood. So, if it turns out that the feds are looking for us, or the FCC has decided to crack down on us with our 5 watts of power, they might go to a location and find no one there, because the person who's actually transmitting is in another undisclosed location, transmitting on a CB or an FRS like this. And by that, I mean, I think it's a victimless crime because no one is there necessarily turning on the radio station, because this radio station might be set to go on and off by an unmanned timer. So that's basically my shtick. And if you do you want to talk a little bit about ideas for the RNC? Because I have a couple ideas that might be of interest. Maybe we can come back to that.
Yeah, I think we're going to come back to that towards the end after everyone has a chance to ask some questions and their practice. So right now, if anyone's still having trouble hearing, I would recommend that you move to the front, because I don't think things are going to get very much louder than they already are. And I'd like to just ask you all, if you have any topics you want to address, any questions for the panelists, or if you have want to share anything. I know we have some people in the room now who do radio projects also, and if anyone wants to share their own projects or experiences for the room, that'd be great.
We're part of East Village Radio. We started out in August 8th. We were on the air for about 3.5 months until the New York Times wrote an article. I forget the title of it, but it was so absurd. The New York Times wrote an article, something was in a walk up in the East Village. There's a radio station, but hush, hush. Hush, hush, the New York Times. So, and obviously, you know, broadcasters and other bastards that we don't like very much, but once we read the New York Times. So we got busted very quickly after that and had the FCC sitting in a van outside of the building, just checking us out. So then we decided to go strictly internet and keep pushing information no matter what. And now we're on street level. We're 21 First Avenue. There's a storefront. You can look in and see the future. You can drop off music, information, CDs. Please just like, you can make your own program on a CD, drop it off, and that's what we're here for. And since we are on street level and have a window to the world, we're in perfect access from us to everybody else. And we are toying with some ideas to get back on the FM.
Okay, FM, first of all, is not the only thing. In fact, FM is one of the more traced ones, but it's also one of the more duplicated ones. When we say more studios, it's not an app, so it's like a two-way device. So the CB does the very best you can. The FRS is just a very convenient toy. It sounds like a cell phone. But in the terms of a CB, which it can be easily modified, you have considerable range of several miles. There's other devices you can use.
Well, actually, you're trying to signal and retransmit it out, and I can just go to a rooftop, pick up that box, take it to a different rooftop about every 2 months.
That's good.
I could just keep moving it around, and it can be completely self-contained and actually have no power strip, no nothing, just...
You don't even have to go to that range. Let me kind of...
Just for me, it's very important for sound quality, because
yes.
I know that what happens with the wireless network.
Is this conversation something that the group is interested in following, or do
right.
you
guys... Right, we do this on our own.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, great.
Cool. Well, I'm going to show... show the station very quickly. It'll solve all your problems. You shouldn't have to, absolutely.
That's why we're here.
You shouldn't even have to move the station around too much, because one of my suggestions to do a squat is the idea of a transmitter. If you create a new computer transmitter, you can actually switch around transmitter to transmitter. Right next to the power supply there is a little timer. That particular one is not solved, but it's a digital timer that will allow two stations to switch places on the air within a second, et cetera, to a second. So it's just like a cell phone set. And imagine the FCC. My favorite time to toy with the FCC is when I'm
because then I have to consider that they are, everybody is supposed to be aware of them, but I have to consider that they would actually be following me. And that's when I would take them on imaginary and impossible courses, such as crossing the Williamsburg Bridge in like 1 p.m. Rush hour traffic in July. And they would have to cross that Williamsburg Bridge in about a second to be where the action is. Mobile stations work very well. Of course, a lot of people don't have cars, but portable stations are almost the same thing. I'm going to move, just take a few minutes to show you very quickly what the station is.
Go ahead. I have a question about the Wi-Fi. Like, is that traceable by an IP address to a computer?
It could be. It could be. That's, once again, it's just...
So how would you do that?
But the point is that the computer is not... You're transmitting between two... You're recording... You're streaming from one computer, and then it can be picked up and transmitted from another location. So they're separate locations, and that helps it stay.
This is what y'all did in Seattle.
Yeah, Central Seattle Grassroots Radio, CSGR, did a fix like that, where it's taking the studio where the people are talking and the music's being played, and divorcing it from the transmitter so that if a signal is traced to the transmitter, it's just a room, you know, with an antenna and a computer.
And 100 people might be receiving
signal.
Yeah,
1,200. Yeah, yeah.
But if five people are, then they could trace it easier, for instance.
I don't know. Well, perhaps.
Okay. I mean, that's why I've always steered clear of wanting to, like, you know, during the 9/11 period when we were doing it in Binghamton, I was like, you know, that was an exception because the news was much more important than, like, and I figured that other stations were doing the same thing, or and so many people were, like, trying to tune in Democracy Now! From, like, any number that I figured there was some anonymity on our part. But anyway, I'm sorry.
So do you want to demonstrate real quick?
Here. Well, the first thing I want to say is you were doing a very simple, you're trying to bring this very simple program onto the air. This is what our station is actually named on. My station is the Red Orchestra, which was the Soviet effort against the Nazis during the Second War. But the similarity ends there because they had to work under extreme constraints. They had tasks, they had very limited equipment that they could do it with. They did not have a lot of originality. They could not move around. Let me just jump over here for a few minutes, because I'm going to do it very briefly, because we have some very good stations here who have a lot of exciting ideas for you, so I'm just going to very quickly. This is a station. This is a station. It solves the problems for a lot of people. You have power supply, which can be always, please, if you want for your own sake, always make it 12 volts, regulated 12-volt power supply, or a battery. If you're running it at a house, a timer is going to turn it on and off with split-second time accuracy. This is very good for switching stations, for being there, having your station on when you're not there. You can be broadcasting into the station. The transmitter
The timer's also used for you listeners. You can use it as a studio if you're transmitting to the transmitter, or you can use it just to record or hear your show. The transmitter is the background sound. This is a Veronica. This is totally solid state. It covers every frequency you're supposed to have. For now, I'm like Bob for Texaco, hope for Veronica. That's veronica.co.uk. And I will give everybody equal access as more transmitters come out around. That is an issue, is that your transmitter must be followed. 12 volts is going into this. 12 volts is going, instead of into a mixer board, this is a CB radio. It happens to be modified for better audio, for better compression. When it transmits, I don't need a compressor to control my audio. There's an industry standard called line input. The line input here, 1 volt peak to peak, is satisfied by this device. It's a wireless studio harness. It's two resistors, and it's two plugs, an RCA plug and a plug going into my CB radio. It's going to turn the CB radio's audio on, so, okay, it's off, but it's actually transmitting. This is the audio that's actually going through the FM radio. It's also going out onto the CB. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, we're on the air. Switch it this way, and you can hear what's on the air. That means you're ready to take a program off of channel 1, or 2, or 3, or 5, or whatever. Anyway, that's how our audio is brought in and out. We can use FRS radios or anything else. We can use ham radios. We can hook it up to internet if we have to move it. The station is 5 watts. They've now made 12 and 30. You can hook amplifiers. I like an outboard amplifier. The wireless studio is the key to the CB. That's my system. I'll do that before a mixer any day because I get bored very easily. The minute you have a CB radio and 12 volts and an antenna on your fire escape, you're ready to do a broadcast into the station. You'll know exactly when it's on. Antennas come in all forms. There's going to be two of them. This is an FM antenna, plus I use a CB antenna on this. I'm using FRS. This one was just made. You can buy them in a number of ways. And the station is easy. And you're going to be building a few cables yourself. You're going to be putting ends on them, making the wireless studio harness. You might be doing that. There's always something you can build, so you have to learn a little soldering basics. You need to learn transmission lines and how to develop signals. Unless you happen to have a particular set where the antenna, let's say in the case of Comet, you just do it by formula. You set the length of it to the frequency that you're set on. Then you won't need a few pieces of test equipment. Now this station costs, the Veronica now here, this is a mono Veronica, a 12 watt will cost about $400. I asked for an on-off switch on the front, because it works with other equipment. I asked for all the plugs out the front, because that makes it much more portable. I can use this in a canoe in a second, and I won't hurt any of the plugs in the car sitting on the back seat. So that's what I like custom, an on-off switch, and everything including the power cord out the front. You can get stereo, you're gonna have two plugs, but to me that's just like an extra baby to feed. Some of you definitely have a love for stereo. It's an extra board. It's about an extra $80. And some of you just will never need it. And you can get something called a compressor. We always try to help people to learn how to modify CB radios for their stations if they want to learn. The wireless studio is two resistors, two plugs, and a third plug, which we use for earphones. And there's going to be some test gear, and there's a website to help you, yourpiratestation.com. And I'm very thankful to Mr. MC Audio Astrology to set up my website, because without it, you would not be getting your free help, and that's what you give out, free help.
Great. Does Veronica make smaller antennas as well?
Are you
drawing
5,
maybe not?
Yes, the board for 1 watt transmitter exciter is on the left side. You can put that in your own thing. I don't know if they kit it themselves, but the board can be used as a 1-1 transmitter. That would give you a transmitter about the size of this book right here. Maybe just a hair wider and shorter.
I think they have something even smaller, like 100 milliwatt, but that's flea power, as they say. Yeah. But that's legal.
Yeah.
It looks like they do
that, yeah. Actually, we don't really want everybody to hear it on the internet and everything all over the place. But the truth is, they do make the sets both pre-built and as kits. To me,
If you look later on at the, I take the cover off. When you see that cover off, you know, hands down, just buy it pre-built. That's the way to go.
So is there anyone else in the audience who has a comment, questions, something they'd like to be addressed? Hi.
Hi. Just in terms of suppliers, I mean, there's two other places. There's NIH kits. You also make
BCWarehouse.com. BCWarehouse, the problem that I've always experienced with BCWarehouse is strictly for AC power, and that goes very much against what we're trying to encourage is people to be portable. And another problem is everything is these very, very big rack mount things. Have you ever carried a rack in the back of your car? You know?
Portability is a concern.
Yeah.
For
and a rack mount with rolling in the back with cables coming around the back of it, or perhaps turned around the back of it. The Bronco's really good.
They've got kits out at Austin RTC if you're ambitious, and their apps are just really solid.
You want to stay away from the back skin. I want to see a mistake there. The thing just never went together. It never fit. The components were so difficult to identify, and that's common. There's a guy named Stephen Dunifer. He built many kits through his organization. They weren't actually cost-effective, but they were the first solid-state FM radios. He sold the idea of FM, then an LD Brewer, Doug Brewer, brought it to a higher level.
Stephen Dunifer also does sell kits through his organization, which is Free Radio Berkeley, and he's kind of like, you know, he calls himself the Johnny Appleseed of pirate radio. He's really interested in people setting up transmitters. If you have a group, a number of people that are interested in having him come out, and you can give him a couch to crash on, he'll come out and walk you through a whole workshop, you know, a day of building transmitters and creating, you know, your own station. He's really quite good that way. I've heard that it's kind of slow to get his kits, like if you order them, so it might not be the way to go, because he's got a lot that he's doing. But if you want technical assistance, you know, he's another good resource. It's Free Radio Berkeley, and I think it's freeradioberkeley.org, but if you just Google Free Radio Berkeley, you'll
Free Radio Berkeley.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Free Radio. Yes, hi. You made a reference to the internet. Do you consider that something totally separate from pirate radio, or
can I have the other panelists also address that? I don't want to make sure this doesn't turn into a monologue. So thoughts about the internet as opposed to broadcasting over radio?
The internet doesn't really work. What I want to do in the theater space, having the transmissions live in the room for me are what make it interesting. I don't think the computer's as interesting at the base of the argument. But as far as tracking it and being found, I'm not concerned with that as much. And then tracking it through the internet, as you know. But if you set up a radio station and you're worried about the FCC finding you, me, like in a theater medium, like 2 hours a night, I'm not really worried about the FCC tracing me. So,
did you feel like the actual live experience of receiving or hearing that broadcast has a certain quality, a certain?
Oh yeah.
The sound through a radio, the sound that you're getting through what he's saying live through the radio, there's like a compression that happens. I think that it just sounds so great, and through a speakers of my iMac that I have, anytime I play even a CD, the sound is so awful that I love live radio, and that's the whole medium. The theater medium is radio. It has nothing to do with like internet streaming, although it's great, the convenience of the internet.
You broadcast the radio.
radio show?
Yeah. It's mostly sporadic, like at events, like a live radio show, but in through the radio medium is just so much more alive to me.
I think one of the other things is that radio is actually something that's far more accessible, and especially like in the community where we're broadcasting, which is Bushwick, like people aren't sitting around at their home computers like looking for music to listen to on the radio. And the chances of a spontaneous meeting, you know, between a listener and a person who's broadcasting locally and in a neighborhood, they just don't exist with internet streaming. I mean, you can search, you know, for a radio station, but it's really not the same thing as like, you know, driving down the street and you're flipping through the station and you hear something you've never heard before, and it's coming from your neighborhood and hopefully responsive to the needs of your neighborhood. Like, I think that's a really alive experience in a way that straight internet broadcasting, I think, has less potential for.
Internet broadcast at all, but at this point we haven't really considered or conceptualized it within our practice. And so, you know, I think to go back to what you were saying, you know, the importance of the inexpensive radio and the possibilities of that. You know, you take a fleet of these backpacks to a protest situation and people have their $8 transistors with them, and, you know, that could broaden communication in some way. And I think, you know, that's a little bit different than the technology that's needed for internet broadcast.
Professor?
Yes. Yeah, the radio is definitely very different from internet. You could never spool out enough cable to your car to ride down this road to drive to work and listen to it. But there was, just to give you an example, we had a radio station get together. We had quite six stations together. Three of them are on the air. Mine was just playing. Well, they say there's no dead air at K-Bear, but I was definitely dead air. It was nothing but CB signals. The other two had 70-odd DJs going. And a gentleman came from Germany with his films. So he said, how can I hook up these speakers? And we said, don't bother. He took his RCA plug and he said, can I hook up? Can I make a schedule to hook up the station? I said, here, you're on. Stuck it like that. We had a gigantic two-story white house. It just turned into a drive-in movie. The whole thing, his gigantic, he had a big projection screen. And he had all these films he made when he came to the United States. And the soundtrack wasn't like one of these little things going, like a drive-in. All the radios, all the FM radios on the lawn and around the place, and not to mention 8 miles in every direction, were all playing his soundtracks of these little kids playing with a TV monitor and all these people riding on the subways and doing all kinds of fascinating things. The soundtrack just went out in high fidelity for 8 miles in every direction. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's nothing, no substitute for radio. In fact, radio isn't even radio. It's going to vary with frequencies, because you might say something into that microphone, and we'll pick it up and put it on a shortwave radio station on the Anarch 13, or we'll kick it over to England, we'll kick it over to Japan, and you'll be listening when the skip rolls in. And you're just walking around with this little baby right here. There's no substitute for radio. There's no substitute for radio.
Yeah. I saw you first and then you.
I think the idea of mobile radio, almost wireless radio, is fascinating. I actually came from Virginia. I work at WXJM 88.7 in Harrisonburg. It's James Madison University's radio station. And actually, MacRock Mid-Atlantic College Radio Conference is coming up April 2nd and 3rd, which you guys should check out. But what I'm wondering is, with, you know, wireless radio, I see that there can be a relationship with, you know, something like the station I work at, which is stationary. You know, do you all do projects with, you know, independent or college radio stations or kind of along the same mindset? Or is it just like broadcast for art, or are you just being mobile to be mobile, being wireless to be wireless, or are you working with other stations?
We're actually in the working on a series of programs with CUNY, the College of Staten Island, because Staten Island has The college, and I teach there as well, the college has the only radio station on Staten Island, and their transmitter antenna is located on Toad Hill on Staten Island, which is the highest point on the eastern seaboard. So the transmission range can go all the way up to Westchester. And so, you know, thinking about working with, you know, actually existing radio stations, legal stations, and also, you know, the kind of isolation of Staten Island as well, I think could be quite interesting. So we're starting discussions with the radio station there and doing some sorts of broadcasts. There are pockets also in Staten Island that do not even receive the transmission because Staten Island is kind of hilly. And so one of the things we're thinking about is, you know, bringing the mobile transmitter over to these pockets, or the various backpacks to these pockets, so they'll receive the transmission as well.
I do some things with different radio stations around the country. I used to do a daily 2-minute long radio show that I've since compiled, and I syndicate it to radio stations in Texas and Seattle, Austin, Texas, and San Antonio, Seattle, and California, and some friends in Minneapolis. So I do some stuff like that. I just wanted to return to the question about the radio and whether there's a difference between the internet. One thing that we haven't yet talked about is the electromagnetic spectrum, which is like the free airwaves around us. So the free airwaves, you know, x-rays, radio frequencies, television frequencies, the color spectrum, it's all legal, you know. So I don't think that the FCC can say, like, oh, you need a license to access these frequencies, you know. And the internet's something totally different, because that's not, you know, all you have to do is stream it using the codecs or whatever, and you can make better quality codecs or whatever, and you need a higher band stream or whatever to do that. But in terms of freeing the airwaves or being a pirate, and I think that piracy is an important part of what we're talking about, or at least what I'm talking about, because I want to free the airwaves, and I think other people want to free the airwaves and want to take the profit out of it. The airwaves are free. I mean, I'm on a second adjacent frequency, so I'm not interfering with anyone. You know, this frequency isn't being used. Meanwhile, you have stations that come to Brooklyn from New Jersey or Connecticut. They have nothing to do with Brooklyn. There's one other radio station, legitimate radio station from Brooklyn, probably about 20 or 40 pirate radio stations in Brooklyn, using the free airwaves, using the electromagnetic spectrum to transmit to radio stations. You can't legalize that or illegalize it. So I just wanted to put that in. So thanks.
Are you doing some
radio
stations?
Oh, yes. It's a given that anybody who wants to form a station, I have even the website to prove it, but if people need equipment built, I try to build it when there's no other way around it. Build things at cost. Sometimes I've been known to give things away. It's not just about radio stations. It's about, I've helped like a taxi company once needed some help moving, and their whole business depended on it. I've gone to several times to airports and helped improve them, showed them where their cables weren't working, and where they could switch sites to cell reach cable, and they could be serving. These are rural airports. This is not Peterborough. Classrooms are a whole other subject, because I've talked to principals and educators. These are highly, highly confidential discussions, but some schools want to have pirate radio stations. Whether they want to hook up a dummy load and cut it down till it's part 15, which means actually totally illegal, or whether they actually want to kick it out. And I've told principals for now that using the radio station as like the parent-teacher newsletter is going a little overboard, but you have students, they want to learn. I taught 8 to 11-year-olds, not in a good neighborhood. They came in summer school in 104 degrees to learn radio and radio skills, and there was one thing I could say about their classrooms. These were not like WKRP in Cincinnati, because they had learned everything in less than 2 weeks, and radio stations conventional radio stations are highly, highly boring, uninteresting things. These kids looked like Navy sailors during a a crash dive. They were reaching over each other and under each other to work equipment, and they were putting their earphones on before they touched any dials. They were able to interlace and slip, take a CD and slip it right under the friend's arm like this. They were running around, and they were not making funny bumping noises and not hitting the tables. It was exciting. It was absolutely exciting. And the parents could not believe, this was parents' night, could not believe what they were hearing. And they didn't have this, like a college station has a very sanitized broadcast. It's a good example of an extremely controlled broadcasting fist. This was just the opposite. These kids could say pretty much whatever they wanted.
That's great. So as far as collaborating with community, like at 3, we've done some be doing some projects with from Sarajevo, and he had some really interesting ways of collaborating with state-run radio stations in his part of the world. And he was actually working as like a mail boy in one of these large radio stations, and he would just start broadcasting at night because all the stations shut down at night in Sarajevo, and he would just broadcast all night from these massive like 100-watt, you know, they're even bigger, they're huge stations in these giant faceless concrete buildings, you know, of the Eastern European state, so he did a lot of that, and he eventually got caught, and then got offered a job. So we're doing some work with him, and along the lines of what you're talking about with classrooms, we at Free 103.9 do a project called Radio Lab, where we teach very young people from like grade school up to high school how to make transmitters and how to broadcast and do things like that. And like you said, like it's always been received like with the utmost of enthusiasm, and the kids are really amazingly powered up by having this medium where they can express themselves. So I think you also had a question.
The whole pirate radio thing. So some of the discussion is a little over my head, but I had two questions. One was, I'm not sure I understand who your audience is, like who's listening to you, who are they, how many are they? That was the first question. The second was for neurotransmitter. I thought what you were talking about sounded really intriguing. I'm still not sure I actually get what it is you do, the whole gallery, pirate radio,
right,
fusion thing. I'm not sure.
But also going back to this whole digital analog divide, I said before is that we're really interested in working with the tactile nature of radio, like the circuit board, the antenna, the wiring. So maybe a good example of a project that we've done is, when you go to the website here, this idea of like creating this backpack, working with the technology of radio, designing a unit that encompasses all this stuff. This is more of a conceptual project, gallery based, where we took wire and made a line drawing out of wire that connected the transmitter to the antenna. So then, conceptually the transmission was flowing through this large drawing made out of wire. And we also did a live broadcast. The entire sound suite was broadcast to local radios that we set up in the gallery space. But it's just this idea of like, how do you take radio but not just worry about what you're going to broadcast or who your audience is. It's obvious that in this context, the audience is more of an art-going audience. But, like I said before, it's working with the tactile nature of the technology and not really being like bogged down on like, what I'm going to broadcast. I mean, the transmission is all kind of like a part of, the work that we do, but we're trying to expand from not just broadcasting, but also how to rethink radio to a certain degree.
And also that project particularly, how sound, and not
just conceptualizing sound within an exhibition context, not through radio, or how can radio function within the context of an exhibition as well. And so that one had this particular installation was both a had both a visual and audio component, and the audio was, of course, broadcast continuously throughout the exhibition. And there was a relationship between the visual and the sound.
My radio station tries to appeal to anyone in Brooklyn and Queens, and especially in times of need, you know, especially when the major media doesn't seem to be addressing our issues or whatever. So word of mouth is usually how we get people to listen, and, you know, there's all kinds of changes. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Okay.
We also have a website. You can check out our schedule.
One other thing for us in terms of, you know, because we're not continuously broadcasting, you know, it's all performance-based. And, you know, our listeners are either participants within the performance or, you know, they're people that we send out emails to various listservs and pass out flyers and let them know, okay, we're going to be broadcasting in this particular area, you know, from 1 to 4 on a particular day. So,
yeah.
You know, and also, you know, the hope is that our listeners could be someone who may be driving by and flipping through their radio station in the car or, you know, in their apartment as well. It's one of these right now. It doesn't have a booster on it, so one of them is within the legal limits of about 500 yards. So we're thinking, you know, right now we're working on building more of these. And actually, to go back to what you had mentioned about solar power, we're working with solar power technology as well. So that, you know, in a sense, if we're caught, you know, if we can broaden the transmission range with 10, 12 of these, right? But if we're caught, we're still working within a legal limit. So,
yeah. Yeah, but outside of, like, radio stuff, I mean, we also do, like, graphics-based projects that deal with radio. So, for example, this was a poster project that we did for this book that was published in Denmark, and we made a, like, 60-by-80-inch poster out of it also. So,
distributed as well.
You know, just kind of anything that brings radio into some kind of context is interesting for us.
I'm going to go to you two, and then I'd like to, if everyone feels satisfied their questions are answered, I'd like to move to talking a little bit in our last 15 minutes or so about collaborating on projects around the Republican National Convention and covering that with radio and independent journalism. So, do you guys mind? That would be excellent. Okay, cool. Your comments first, and then.
About.
Your comments about. You seem like you had an answer to.
Oh, I already sort of told you.
Sometimes it doesn't even matter who your audience is. You're performing. You have a group with you. They might be in the station. They might be out. They might be out in the park. You're conducting your audio into the Very often, when you do pirate radio, the science of it, they call it arbitrons, how many people are listening to you. Now, some radio stations, the bulk of radio stations care how many Valtrexes you sell or how many SUVs you sell. In this case, your arbitrons commercially mean almost nothing. You're spreading ideas. For practical considerations, usually it's just the people who are working with you who are collaborating. They may not be at the stations. They may be the people on the two-way. In our case, we have a much bigger audience because we have the CB audience as well talking to us. Who is listening? It's the people you're really performing with who usually, for the most part, matter until you actually run into some wattage. There will be some exceptions to that rule. And if you want the general public, you know, you might either tell somebody important in some place, or I like a tape loop. It's on our site. It tells you how to make a 4-second tape loop. You can scare up a lot of attention with a very, very small station in a very short period of time that way. Who's important? Most of the people in your station.
I just wanted to say that it's always a surprise to find out who the audience is. I mean, I've been in the post office and grocery stores, and people recognize my voice, you know, and I'm always sort of surprised, like, how did you know to tune in Perfect Radio? But, you know, word of mouth usually leads to, like, surprises, pleasant surprises, usually.
And that's one of the kind of lonely aspects of doing radio. I think, you know, we have some people in the audience who can speak to that, where you're not really sure. I mean, in the case of Bion, like, our transmission range is, it's, you know, it's pretty local, it's pretty compact, you know, and we have to depend on largely word of mouth and maybe flyers and things like that, you know, to get the word out. But it is exciting, you know, like when you just left your station with a song playing, the next DJ came on, and you can hear somebody's car radio broadcasting your station. And I mean, there's no real way to know who is listening in the outside world, and you just kind of have to...
I always think that the beauty of when you're looking on the dial of a new station, and all of a sudden there's a hip-hop station immediately broadcast at night
every
after
night,
10.
Yeah.
And that beauty of, yeah, after 10, there's a show. If you can find it on the dial, that's searching, and that, oh, I found it, I think this is it, and there are no advertisements or anything, and it's just pure radio. I think East Village Radio, you talked about, a lot of restaurants and cafes in that area would tune in, and all night, because there's no radio or no advertisements or something. It's just an ongoing music, and it's really nice. And I think that's the beauty of this pirate radio stuff. It's like something like East Village Radio playing it in all the coffee shops and cafes. That's your audience there. I mean, if you can do that, and not to worry about who, if one person or 2,000 people are listening.
If I can just say, I have a pirate radio on Bion. I think the thing that you can't underestimate is the thirst in the general public for something non-commercial on radio, because right now the thing is it's just all like monoculture, and you can't actually get anything that's relevant or local. And we have an email address. We started inviting our listeners to email us and just let us know that they were tuning in. And we got this one guy who was like, he's like, I love you, I love you, I love Bion, I love what you do. And he started describing all of the crazy antennas and radio equipment that he has, and he's on the podcast to pick up like various, you know, pirate stations around. And and then we had to switch frequencies. And he wrote and he was like, you switched frequencies, but I found you again, finally, I'm so glad. I mean, people want it. Like, as far as an audience goes, I mean, it's fast.
Years and so many years it was on, and the FCC never busted it. It was all rigged up, it was a very good station, it had plenty of watts, and somebody had switched it to a 75-ohm cable. So it was transmitting maybe a little better than the Ramsey here, you know. It was a 40-watt backpack getting hot. But meanwhile, it was getting out not even maybe a block or two or three blocks or something, but hundreds and hundreds of people. They all got onto it, they performed, they put on their guitars, they made recordings. They thought they were going out, they had a lovely time for years, and the FCC never ever busted us for years and years and years. And they had their fun. They did not have the fun they got on it. Oh, that's debatable.
So
that's very debatable if it ever got.
We have just a few minutes left. I didn't realize how late it was getting. So let's hear this fantastic idea about the RNC.
It's not even a very concept or anything. I'm just thinking that if we want to have an impact or be able to provide on the street reports from the RNC protests, which we imagine will be happening in great abundance, what we should do is set up a wireless station on, we would need like a roof, access to a roof, and the tallest roof probably on the west side, and a room or two rooms on the top floor of it, and then put up a couple antennas and transmit AM with like 100 watts or 1,000 watts or 100 milliwatts, which is legal according to the FCC. And basically you are saying, like, we're going to transmit legally 100 milliwatts with this antenna, which no one will notice. And then, you know, at the last minute, you either use the 100 milliwatt and transmitter, or you replace it with something bigger, and then with the right antenna, you can go out, you know, two or three states, I would imagine, out to the Midwest, and then you would be impacting, you know, like, for instance, if you were to choose a frequency like 800 on the AM dial near 770 or, you know, in between 770 and WNYC, for instance, and just transmit from the top of the tallest roof on the west side. And you have a wireless station with CB reports or other reports, remote reports from other locations throughout the city, and shortwave reports from around the world. I know there's some people who do shortwave, and you have that all in the station, and you're transmitting on AM and perhaps on FM and or CB, shortwave, and anything else you want, internet, if it's safe, you know, if it's anonymous and whatever, then I think you can really make an impact.
Suitable AM transmitters are not that common. I have one who needs some work. But AM is extremely difficult to trace unless they're expecting to be, the FCC would be actually expecting to bring their equipment. The way you get it good and dirty is just to kick it out with a simple wireless studio and a couple decent 30 or 50 or 100 watt FM transmitters. Half of it would be live, but probably just as important would be to have couriers bringing good off-the-street recordings just into the stations.
Yeah.
Use one station to bring it out, one studio, I should say, studio, it could be a station. Just use one studio to send it out to all the stations that are going to be in Manhattan that are going to be transmitting it on their own frequencies. Just use the messengers to do a lot of the shuttling of the broadcasts, except for the live broadcasts. And you would expect in this case not to be in a regular pirate station, but in a station, a situation where there's a lot of police, where there's a lot of monitoring, where there's a lot of radical activity expected. So that's a different situation. So yeah, that's not our typical goal. You know, in other words, we do it, but we do it well. We do it totally pirate.
Does AM's frequency go further?
We don't have a transmitter. That's a problem.
What I think is the potential to use small mobile transmitters both to get news out to people, but then also as maybe a way to spread information through a crowd,
right,
to coordinate large movements of people. So do you guys have anything to comment on about that? Have you used those for...
On a smaller scale, yes. But, you know, again, we're hoping by the summer to have about 10 of these built. So... Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd also like to add that we are working on a special project for the RNC with Armand. He's actually here right now. I hate to put you on the spot, but I don't know if you want to maybe say a few words or.
It's basically a theater piece that's going to be presented as a radio show, a live radio show, on the RNC, and. It's going to be a dramatic condensation of the all the stuff going on with in Iraq and, you know, the Bush administration activities, and the intention is to condense all of those that information experience into a very compact flow, so that dramatically you experience the oppressive nature of what it's like to live under Bush. And it goes a little bit further dramatically with the idea that Bush declares a police state, a state of martial law, over the New York City area during the convention, and creates a lot of parallels between the abuses going on in Iraq and the abuses that have been happening at demonstrations here in the United States, down in Miami, use of lethal weapons against peaceful demonstrators. A lot of very troubling, disturbing patterns emerging, both here in the United States and Iraq. And so I know here I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but the idea is that to raise people's consciousness about the very troubling similarities and trends that are happening in this country versus, you know, the sort of police state kind of trend that's developing.
Yeah.
And it's a dramatic piece, but it's incredibly close to reality, and I think come the Republican National Convention, it'll be very, very close to the state of martial law going on in New York City. So that's kind of that piece.
Cool. We're probably over our time right now, but I'd like to take some quick comments. I saw you first, and then you.
Just regarding the RNC.
forth between our people on the ground, and then, you know, because we only had a few people with cell phones doing interviews. But then we could switch right back when we weren't doing that, you know, to their ongoing coverage. So if there was sort of some kind of combination of that, like, on the street, wireless, this and that, but also either to a, I don't have experience with AM and would actually love to talk to anyone afterwards.
Me too, I'd love to get more about it.
Okay,
I just think it's a good idea.
Sort of building on that, I also want to put all the tactical video. I just love that stuff. But it's really, you know, strategically, it's really a kind of narrow casting. You don't always want to broadcast what you're coordinating on the streets.
Yeah.
But if you know, people are planning stuff that, you know, would be programming for broadcast, you know, I would think about looking into other ways of disseminating it, you know, beyond, you know, the initial FM or AM broadcast, whether it's, you know, sending a proprietary stream to VAI so they might take it. The other thing is, a lot of people never think of this, but on the public access channels, you know, cable TV, you can run subcarrier on basic form of secondary audio program. We've done this in the past with BAI, we used to run it. So, I mean, that's a possibility of taking programming, running it to the access channels, which, incidentally, the Republicans could see. They could hear it in their hotel rooms. So, it's a thought.
One point I want to make is very important when you deal pirate. Some people are in the broadcast industry, they're called the W people, they have licenses, they're subject to public opinion of the states, right?
Link yourself with them. That's who, I mean, you may help them professionally in many ways, but do not in any kind of an obvious or public or record way be seen, you know, helping them. We keep it squeaky clean, but there's no connections between us and our best friends in the broadcast industry, but they get our help all the time.
Well, this would include the web stream in this case.
Yeah, we call that internet audio. When it's going over wireless to the viewers for FM or something, actually listening to a station, this is the way some of them do it. If you send any kind of an audio to a radio station,
have them record it in advance, and then they will cut and edit anything out that shows that it was done off air, and then they will dub it as internet audio, and there's no possible way to tell the difference.
I just want to comment on the idea of using, like, the transmitters and stuff to organize the actual on-street protests and so forth, because I know when I go to protest, I'm standing in a large group of people, I have no idea where I'm walking, I have no idea who's around me, I have no idea where we're going, and I'm from New York City, and I just remember going, like, down, like, a year ago, I think, it was February 15th, going down First Avenue, like, where are we going? Like, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know where the cops are. I don't know where my friends are. You just have, like, a frequency that people can bring, like, on the radio with them, and, like, people just going back and forth and having this, okay, they're over here, we should go over there and go around them. Don't go that way because they're arresting people, or, like, you know, kind of, like, organizing. I mean, it's very easy to tell all the, because, I mean, there's thousands of organizations going out with this in August and September, and trying to get everyone to say, like, this is a frequency, we're going to help you guys out and have people stationed around all over the place. Because, I mean, yeah, they can track us somehow and listen to the radio, but, I mean, you can always make sure that at least there's some information going around at that point. You know, like,
and it seems like the potential is not just to say, like, okay, well, this is what we're doing next, but more like, this is where the cops are.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of a huge crowd, like, you can't always see what's happening, like, a block away, you know, and it
especially
might be something
like,
that
I'm
people
sure
might
so
need
I can
help,
see
you know?
People's head. You know, like, you know, like,
you're in the same exact boat as we are, because we can't do anything by needlessly taking chances. You want to try to do something in the most easy and facile and duplicatable way. You don't want to be taking any kinds of risks for nothing. I don't like to see people stick their heads out if it's possible. I mean, you have to go out there, you have to do your protests, but you try to do it in the very most smart way, and don't try to stick any heads out. Because if you possibly can't share. Don't make any martyrs.
Yeah, and if you're a transmitter,
if you want to do it with a protest, there's no music, so use these. Don't use these to transmit to another site and kick a nice big fat signal from a very safe spot back to everybody, so any old Walkman will work. But just exactly as us. I don't like to
to make people go make protests and make chances for anything. It's not me anymore. You know, when I know somebody who isn't confident about this, they don't have common sense. You know, they're not politically, savvy or something like that. They're going to go out, they're going to get themselves hurt. I don't say anything. I don't teach them what I'm going to teach them because I don't want to get anybody hurt. You know, we're going to just go out and have fun. But, you know, do your job. Don't get yourself hurt.
In the case of Republicans, we're all kind of collectively sticking our heads up.
Yeah. So we're over time right now, and I'd like, we could keep talking for as long as we don't get kicked out or whatever, and I'd like to continue that conversation, but, everyone, has other panels to go to and other classes to take, but I'd like to, before everyone goes, once again give out some contact information and some websites for everyone to look at. Professor Kleistron's website is yourpiratestation.com.
And who
was
that?
That's Professor Kleistron, and that's where you can get a lot of information about setting up a transmitter. Our radio, yourpiratestation.com. And there's some flyers up here if anyone wants them. Also, the website for Free 103.9, anyone who's interested in working together with us for stuff surrounding the RNC or interested in having participating in a show on our radio station, you can email me. My email address is sl@free903.org. And that's also our website. It's www.free103.9.org. And it's, the word free, the numbers 103, the word point, the number.
What's the address of this station?
The address?
In Bushwick?
It's in the Bushwick area, yeah.
What's the address?
I can't give you the address right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you do have
a website.
Same mail address.
I don't know what
the PO box is.
Oh, we have a PO box. Do you mean to send CDs and stuff?
No, you can visit, basically.
Yeah, contact me and you can send something.
Okay. What's your name?
My name is Sarah Lippitt.
Can you give out my web address?
Sure, and perfect radio web address. What is it? Sorry, I don't have it.
Yeah, check out perfect radio at hotmail.com.
Okay,
that's my email address. And you can check out audioastrology, www.audioastrology.com. That's one word.
You repeat all that?
You can email me at perfect radio. perfectradio at hotmail.com, and my web address is www.audioastrology.com, and you can hear your horoscope. And also, I just wanted to point your attention to a fascinating article I just read from Lawrence Lessig in the New Wire magazine in March, where he sort of defends the idea of piracy, which is pretty interesting. So if you have an inkling to like go store and read the article without buying it, that's a good place to check the New Wire Lessig.
And you can go to neurotransmitter.fm to read more information about what Neurotransmitter is doing. And Ryan, do you have any?
Go to Free 103.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're
direct.
If you're not capable, anybody's spread word, if you're not capable of dealing with the internet, the Red Orchestra, also called the Radio Literacy Project, has an address, Box 23, Hamlin. The CO Box, HAMDEN, New York 13782.
Alright, thanks for coming up today. We'll hang out for a few minutes at least. Do you have any other questions?
If you're listening on the internet, we're going to cut you off in a moment, but we're going to come right back in a few minutes after we move the computer to a different room. So tune in, we'll have a couple songs in between, but you're going to get cut off then, so tune back in. Okay, thanks.